Welcome to the Operation Move podcast. My name is Zoe, and this week we're going to be talking about beginnings, why they're hard, but why they're also liberating. Before we actually get to the new year, I thought it would be cool to talk a bit about beginnings because it's been something that has been coming up in all sorts of different places this week, and some of that is to do with the fact that I'm always talking to people about their starting point with Learn to Run, and probably the most interesting part about that is that the starting point is never the beginning. Like, the beginning is, there's a whole history that will come with any person whenever they start something new, and so the beginning is never really the beginning. It's just, the beginning is kind of like just the point of change, and it can seem from the outside like it's a really easy thing, that you just, you know, start something and it just all just comes naturally. But the reality is that there's not much that is easy about it, because you've got to get to the point where you want to make a change, and then you've got to restructure your life to accommodate that change, and then you've got to deal with all of the internal monologue that is extremely interested in you not making that change. And so taking into account all of the history and all of the background that comes in, that you take with you into that point of change, is probably one of the more important things that you can do to make sure that, not that it's easy, but that it has some longevity, that it's not just a flash in the pan. And for me personally, it's also been sort of a bit of a recurring theme over the last few weeks, because I started a new training plan, and so I've been working my way through that and building up my run volume again. And also I went back to rehab, which isn't really for my injury anymore. That's pretty much where it needs to be. I'm not having any pain. My running doesn't seem to be triggering it in any way anymore, but there's always things that we can work on to improve performance, so that's sort of what more the focus is now. But after the Pan Packs, we agreed that I would build up all of my strength training back to where it had been before the race, because you always have sort of like time off before and time off after, and then we would look at building in more complex movements and sort of taking back everything I had been doing down to more of a maintenance level, and which is very exciting because I've been doing rehab for months. And there is no part of it that isn't boring. And it's very beneficial and it's very necessary, but there's no way around it. There is no part of me that feels excited to do that at any point. So I went back in and sort of was working through all of my strength stuff, and then was like, okay, let's start looking at sort of some single leg work. And I happened to mention that we'd done some single leg progressions at the gym, and that my left quad had been really, really quite cranky since then. And he thought that there was probably something that had overcompensated in a way that it shouldn't have. And so he got me to do a step up, which should be a really basic exercise for most people. You know, you just put a foot on a box and stand up, and he took one look and he was like, yeah, that's no good because my hips aren't stable through the movement, which means that to sort of stabilize my body, things like my quads are taking over and doing a crappy job, and then I end up being sore and everything like that. So I was like, okay, step up is one step too far, and went back to working on some hip stability work and some more glute strength work, which we'll then do until I'm sort of strong enough to be able to do more of the single leg and step up work. I think one of the hard things about being in that kind of position where you're dealing with an injury and you're dealing with strength imbalances and you're, you know, working hard to correct them and progress and everything like that is that you kind of know how far you have to go, and it can kind of be intimidating to be at that beginning point. But one of the things that I've learned through the process of being rehab is that you can only be where you are, and that's just where you have to start, and it's all part of the process. And in some ways that can be quite a liberating experience, because about anything outside of that, like, I do not have to concern myself with the fact that I cannot successfully step up onto a box at this stage. All I've got to worry about is the main thing I have to work on is hip thrusters with a barbell, so I've just got to like maintain that, keep everything square, put weight on it, and just keep working on that until it's strong enough for the next step. And there's always a next step. So I think that as humbling as it can be to be at that stage of the process and be definitely at this really beginner stage and be hyper aware of how much work there is to do, it's still an amazing opportunity to be able to work on the foundation. Because if you take a step back from that and think, okay, like I can run 80 kilometers in a week, which is what I did this week, which is I've probably gone up to 100 before, but you know, 80 is usually pretty comfortable. And I'm doing all of this with this foundation that is less than ideal. Imagine how much better it's going to be when the foundation is really rock solid. I think the same can be said about pretty much starting anything, whether that's a running program or anything new that requires a lot of work, and a lot of skill development and a lot of persistence. Can be easy to look at it and be intimidated by the amount of time, by the amount of effort, by the amount of space that you've got to create in your already very busy life to make room for it. And the risk can be that you might devalue something because it's going to take longer and because it's going to take a little bit more and because it is going to be a little bit more challenging. But I think that if you're able to take a step back, you can see it's those things that are the most rewarding in the long term. And as much as your brain does not like long term things at all, it likes things that are immediately rewarding. If you can stay in the present with it, then it's a lot easier to get through the things that you need to get through to make the change that you want to make and to start having those building blocks to where you want to go. And eventually, any sort of attempt at change or any beginning is tested, and that can happen in so many different ways. I mean, if it's running, it could be that you've started a new training plan and then you've gotten sick, or something's come up with family, there's been an interruption of some kind. And I think that the amount of times that in the past that I would start something and then have something like that come up and then just stop was a lot. And I was thinking this week too about how I guess I started running in 2011, and there are so many things over the years that I've picked up, started, and then just dropped when there was an interruption of some kind or something got a bit hard or whatever happened. And I was looking back on my running and I'm thinking, you know, like, what, why did I keep going where in all of so many other things I just stop? Or to be probably more accurate, I would stop and then I would go, oh, okay, now this is this has gone horribly pear-shaped, I need to start over again. And I think that that's probably the biggest challenge with beginning something is once you have, even though it can be extremely challenging to start, when you have that break for whatever reason, it's such struggle town to not allow that kind of all or nothing or perfectionist mentality to kick in and go, okay, it's all ruined now and I have to start over. And starting over seems like a really kind of like it's quite a seductive concept, you know, because I'll get all of these things lined up and it'll all go according to plan and I'll be able to do all the things that I need to do. I'll be able to do it right this time and I'll be able to get more out of it, and it draws you in. But the problem with starting over is that you're just teaching yourself how to quit when something gets tough. And what you want to be focusing on, and what I was able to focus on with running, was that I was continuing. I wasn't starting over, I just keep going. And that might mean that I would need to go back in terms of like maybe where I'd been at with my walk-run intervals, but it was always just a continuation. And I think probably one of the main reasons why I was able to do that, where I was highly unsuccessful at almost anything else, was because the sort of like the barriers to running were a lot lower than anything else. So, you know, I didn't need any special skills. I didn't need hand-eye coordination. It's very important. I didn't have to be in a group. I didn't have to. I did have a gym membership when I started to run, so I could run on the treadmill at night, but it was not something, it was something that I could still do when I was away from the treadmill, although it took me a long while to get more comfortable on the road. I think that a lot of times when you start out on the treadmill, it can be a bit of a shock to how like in a lot of ways running outside is mentally, it's so much easier. Like the kind of like the mental games that you have to play with yourself to get through an hour on the treadmill is a lot, but physically it's a lot harder, and you realize like how much different it is and how much more you need to sort of specifically train. Like if you want to run outside, you've got to run outside. And I think that in the beginning, it's great to have the treadmill as an option because it is lower impact and it can kind of like ease your body into that conditioning a lot more. But if your ultimate goal is to run outside, then you need to run outside more, which I came around pretty late to that realization. So looking back, I think that there were probably a few things that really helped me to keep going with running and not be one of those many things that I had tried and then abandoned along the way. I think one of the main things that really helped me in the beginning was that I didn't seem to progress as quickly as other people who started when I started. It seemed, and it's all of the sort of, you know, like 5K PBs, that kind of thing, were really hard one, and almost like I had to work harder for it in some ways. And I actually think that that kind of protected me from sort of getting disillusioned with it, because things were slower for me. So from a very early period of time, it had to be about the running, and like, yes, there was improvement, but it was very, very slow. So I didn't have a huge expectation of getting better over a period of months. I just, and I had to make peace with that early on. And I think that in the long term, that did actually help how I viewed my running and what it meant to me. And early on, it kind of separated me out from that comparison game that you can get sucked into. I think the other thing is that I
always had a strong perfectionist streak, which is why I started a lot of things and never finished them. And I think that it can be kind of tempting if you have that sort of personality to look on perfectionism as a good thing, as an asset. But I realised, probably not as soon as I should have, but I did realise that it was actually not a good thing. And it didn't serve me in any way. And pretty much it would always set me up for being disappointed in whatever I was working on or whatever I was doing. And so I kind of realised that it was something that I actually actively had to work around rather than looking on it as something that was sort of like a pinnacle or, you know, that said something good about my work ethic. And there are certainly things about it that can be good, but for the most part it's destructive, not creative. And so now with running, I'm aware of it. So I know, like, I've had, like, been getting, like, a bit of a sore throat this week, and even though I'm not training for anything specifically, but just kind of laying the groundwork and just sort of getting back into things, the idea of missing out on a training session that's written down for me really bothers me. But I also, I'm aware that that is ridiculous. So I think it's not so much about, you know, like, I'm never really probably going to be able to change the initial thought process around it, but I can at least acknowledge it as completely ridiculous. So I think having the background of having identified that particular tendency as a destructive one helped me when it came to running in getting out of that all or nothing mindset, or that thing of, like, if things don't go exactly according to plan and I don't do everything perfectly as it was intended, then I fail and it's all ruined. What I really liked to sort of support it about being the work, not about it being perfect, was the idea of the 10,000 hours, which is something that, like, used to be really popular. They had a few studies about, you know, it takes 10,000 hours to master something, and it couldn't just be, like, you can't be going through the motion in those 10,000 hours. It actually has to be intentional practice where you're engaging with the process and looking at ways that you can improve and seeking feedback and getting context. It's not, you know, a pure amount of just, like, time in. But now I think that there have been quite a few studies that have said, yeah, that's not always 100% accurate. But I still like it as a concept. And probably for things like physical things, like running, it probably has the most application. And I really liked that idea because it's sort of like, it doesn't matter if there's, you know, you take time off to look after a family member, or you just run out of mojo for a few weeks, or whatever happens. You don't lose that time that you've already invested into it, and then the next time you go out, you're just adding more to it. And I kind of like, I look at it as like adding to a bank balance, really. It may be slightly easier adding to that balance than my actual bank balance. But if you look at it as investing in yourself, there's no timeline on that. There's no deadline on that. I mean, the more you take advantage of your opportunities that you have right now, the better off you're going to be. But by the same token, if you get to a period where you've had 3-4 weeks off or months or whatever, you always have the opportunity to add more into that investment in yourself. And I think that that can really cut through some of the tendencies to feel, to get sucked into that thing of feeling like it's a failure because you've had a break, or to feel, or worse, to internalize a bunch of stuff that happened as a personal failing and as a character flaw of some kind. And I think that is definitely the greater, much greater risk, is this idea that you take something that happened and then just allow it to convince you of all of the negative things that you've ever said about yourself are true, rather than looking at it going, okay, I did this. It was, you know, 4 days a week, and after 3 weeks I got so busy with kids or work or with whatever, and I felt like I couldn't get in the third session, and that then freaked me out, and then I didn't do anything. What can I... And in, you want to go with all of that and think, what did I learn from that? What worked? What didn't work? What can I change so it does work? And so that, because really the thing that is going to make the difference to you is consistency. It's not whether you're able to do 3, 4, or 5 sessions a week. It's much more about what is going to fit into your life and it's going to support what you're already doing. And so you want to take those things that maybe didn't work out as you'd planned and then start to implement them and what you've learnt from that into the next thing. And it can take a long time for you to like find what that good balance is. But if you are just committed to it as all part of the process, then that's all part of the learning. And then there's no point in that where that's like, that's a failure, or I'm a failure, or, you know, like I'm crap at this. None of that is happening, because it's just all you learning.
So I hope that is helpful for whatever you're beginning now or in the new year. Learn to Run starts on the 7th of January if you want to start that with us. And there are also one-on-one coaching spots available with me for next year as well, if that's something that you're interested in. I will hopefully be back with the podcast next week. I've had major, major computer and technical issues here. So I am waiting to take my computer to the computer doctor in the new year, and I will try to muddle along as I can until then. And as always, if you have anything that you would like me to talk about on the podcast, just let me know, and I will speak to you hopefully next week. Bye.